path that we really want to take? It's a fair question to ask ourselves and one another. In similar ways, we have asked this question to our newest members as they have joined the church this year. Essentially, before we received them as members, we wanted to make sure that they were ready to serve as Christ's disciples. There's never enough time to talk about our denomination or our church, so oftentimes our new members must make a commitment to learning more through participating in the life of the church. And the questions that are asked of them are the same questions that you probably answered or discussed when you decided to become a new member. Now, I'm going to assume that you probably aren't likely to remember what the Book of Order says about membership. The Book of Order is sort of the guidelines or rules within our denomination, and membership is discussed right at the beginning of the Book of Order. But I don't expect you to have the membership requirements memorized, but I'm going to give you a little refresher course. This is what the Book of Order says. Membership in the Church of Jesus Christ is a joy and a privilege. It is also a commitment to participate in Christ's mission. A faithful member bears witness to God's love and mission, or bears witness to God's love and grace, and promises to be involved responsibly in the ministry of Christ's church. And then it goes on to share what that involvement includes. A member should be proclaiming the good news in word and deed. They should be taking part in the common life and worship of a congregation. They should be lifting one another up in prayer, mutual concern, and active support. A church member should be studying scripture and the issues of Christian faith and life. They should be supporting the ministry of the church through the giving of money and time and talents. They should be demonstrating a new quality of life within and through the church, responding to God's activity in the world through service to others, living responsibly in the personal, family, vocational, political, cultural, and social relationships of life, working in the world for peace and justice, freedom, and human fulfillment. A church member should be caring for God's creation, participating in the governing responsibilities of the church. And the final requirement is that they are reviewing and evaluating regularly the integrity of one's membership and considering ways in which one's participation in the worship and service of the church may be increased and made more meaningful. It's exhausting, isn't it, when we consider, when we hear all the promises that we make to being called a member of a church, of this church. The intention is that we do not do it alone, but participate together in the promises we make for membership. And in a sense, Jesus also gives a list of requirements to those who want to be God's disciples. We've heard these descriptions over the past few weeks, and quite honestly, being disciples is far from easy. In fact, there are times when it could possibly be downright dangerous. Jesus is intentional about describing what the disciples should do in certain situations, like as they are received in communities, or how they should pack, and so on. It's not like Jesus isn't being truthful, but when you are excited about being with Jesus, you tend to downplay anything that might feel difficult. Same might be said when we desire to become church members. We will join at any cost and then forget what that cost is until we're asked to serve. We are blessed to have people around us who step in or step up when a church member will step out, literally and figuratively, from our church family. Many people here are serving in some way in the life of our church, often in multiple ways. but it would be naive to believe they can serve forever. I've been a perfect example of what happens when one serves continuously without spiritual rest. I spent too many years drawing upon my own strength to serve until I found out that we can run out of our own strength and experience. And when that happens, we have the spiritual weariness, making us not well to keep serving. On my short leave, I learned a lot about spiritual rest, or what we refer to as Sabbath rest. God's people were told to keep the Sabbath, not to imply they would be punished if they didn't, but because God knew, and Jesus described that the work of God's disciples would be challenging and tiring. God knew that if we were engaging in our commitment to be God's disciples, or with the example of church membership, being engaged members, at numerous points of our lives, we would need rest. Jesus was trying to help the disciples set a rhythm of rest or Sabbath as they started serving, because he knew that they would need it to sustain their involvement. On the path of a disciple, we are learning to grow in our relationships with Christ and also with the community. And it begins when we take the yoke. Now, you've seen some pictures of the yoke. I've got one more picture. And this is a picture, a little bit more of a close-up, of showing the oxen or the animals that would have used that yoke as part of farming. And you'll notice that they carry that around their head and on their back. And this yoke along their back was pulled and manipulated so that they would know where to go by the farmer or the owner of the two oxen. It made the farmer's job a little easier as the oxen pulled the yoke with the farm equipment. And it also helped the oxen to know what they should do. Now, one of our culture's fantasies that feed our inherent weariness, you can take that down now, Cole, our perpetually overburdened souls, is the notion that we have to be it all for everyone. We expend as much energy trying to decide what image we'll make ourselves into this year, this week, this day, this job, maybe this marriage, this friendship. We spend so much time thinking about who we need to become more than we do actually inhabiting that image. So in my case, I was convinced that I could do it all as pastor, wife, parent, daughter, and friend among the images that I portray. I upheld it all for a bit, but I could never do it all forever in my own strength. There are people among us or listening to this sermon later today who know they are doing the same things in their own lives. Maybe we have different images we are trying to create, but I'm not the only one who was juggling too many images and tiring myself out. When Jesus offers to share our burdens by becoming our yoke mate, the weight of all this image production baggage quietly slips off of our shoulders. And Jesus's yoke, though easy and the burden light, nonetheless gives us direction and purpose for our lives. We no longer need to create and recreate ourselves. We are now being gently resculpted into Christ's likeness. And the only image we need to create and be is the image of Jesus Christ. I can be all the roles I need to be in my life when I pursue to do them in the image of Jesus Christ, and so can you. Jesus' invitation to rest is more than skin deep. It is peace for the soul. Christ is our real rest. Christ is our real peace, and there is freedom in being yoked to a single focus and direction through Christ. I love the image of the yoke because it's not Jesus having us solely carry the burden of our lives. He is right there beside us, as close as a whisper in our ear from Christ guiding and teaching us what it means to bear that yoke. It is not so much about what we might do, but about the one with whom we will do all things. The yoke that Christ speaks of in our text is a symbol of relationship. When we come together to worship, we come together. We are not alone, but we're part of a community. And added to that, of course, is the intimate and personal relationship that we have with Christ. We are yoked, meaning everything we do in the presence of Christ. And we are blessed beyond measure. We are known, and we are loved. So that is certainly something worthy of giving thanks and praise to God. And so as we gather each week for worship, we are reminded of the relationship with Christ and also with one another. And so let our songs be songs of community and of fellowship, and let our service be done not with a Lone Ranger mentality, but in terms of the unity of the body of which we are a part. Rest. We heard a little bit about rest from Carrie. I loved how she reminded us that rest doesn't necessarily mean sleep. Sleep is great. Our bodies need it. If we don't get sleep, it sort of messes us up a little bit physically and mentally. Rest, I think, is probably something that we can avoid for a while, but we reach that point where we need it. I rested last week on my vacation at my parents, and so that helps. I never thought that Jesus was inviting us to come and take a nap on his couch. I bet that would be an incredible nap. But that's not what he's saying about rest. As great as that would be, I don't think that is the offer when he says, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." There's more to it than, you know, pulling a comforter over your head and dozing off, especially since the next line is, "Take my yoke." I mean, when you think about it, what is that? Is that rest? Being yoked to something or someone? I mean, when I think about that, when we see the pictures, that sounds like work. It sounds like labor. And while it is, Jesus wasn't offering us time off for good behavior. This isn't like earning enough vacation time by working really hard and then getting a few extra days because we've earned them. When it comes to Jesus, you better lay off the earning language, or you might be on the wrong end of that scale. The offer has to be for something other than a good night's sleep. It must have something to do with working alongside of or being guided by Jesus. But working, moving, being, all that stuff, all those action words, it is yet again not about checking out, but about diving in. It's all about going deeper, about living. And Jesus is the one who invites us to restful living and restful working. Sabbath was never about being lazy. It was always about being centered on God and on the life that God intends for us. It was about obedience. Out of Sabbath is where we find the energy to serve as Christ's disciples. And Sabbath isn't what we do if we can get all of our work done. It's how we begin our week so that we can effectively do the work of the Lord. And that's what I really want. The end of strain and stress, the striving after that which never satisfies, being out of step with where Christ wants us to be. What I want is an easy yoke, not one that isn't hard work, but one that fits me and fits the time, one that is right for me. And then I can rest easy, trusting I am where God wants me to be. Well, what about our Old Testament reading today? What does that difficult and somewhat culturally obscure courtship story between Isaac and Rebekah have to do with Jesus' call to take his yoke? Well, it might be for us to acknowledge that despite our cultural inclination to turn everything into an individual enterprise, the life of faith or being a disciple by design involves other people. And these other people are not just objects to act upon, but subjects with whom we are to develop relationships. Making disciples is about being in relationship. We may want it to be about leaving tracks or making good arguments or convincing folks, reminding people of their unworthiness and then leave them to find their way on their own. But that's not how it works. It is about commitment and relationship and partnership. Of course, not every relationship is about marriage, like the story of Isaac and Rebekah in Genesis 24. But every relationship is about investing time and energy and attention. And if Isaac's story is any guide, it also takes multiple members of the community to establish the connections and to foster relationships. And so we need to acknowledge that relationships are worth the time and effort they take to invite and to cultivate and to accompany. The message to those of us in the disciple-making business is that we need to shepherd the process. As the servant in Genesis shepherded Rebekah into the fold of the family of Abraham. This servanthood is not forced labor, not a stealing of our will or an abduction of self in order to be yoked to a harsh taskmaster. Instead, this is a surrender of self to that which will make us whole. This is the willing act of commitment to enter into this relationship, to both offer service, but also discover fulfillment, activation of giftedness, and a center from which we can love more because we know that we are loved. Taking a yoke means that we are willing to learn to grow. And this growing into the likeness of Jesus Christ is lifelong until we die. The ways that we choose to participate, such as in the church, may change, but we are always participating. We're always serving and always inviting others to be in our community. So today, I invite you to remember the last commitment of being a church member, the one that said that we are asked to review and regularly evaluate the integrity of one's membership and consider ways in which our participation in the worship and service of the church may be increased and made more meaningful. I invite all of us to dwell on these words, not to feel guilty because we feel like we're not doing enough, but to consider what excites us about our faith in Jesus Christ and ask God to show us a way to do so within our church community, together, as we shine Christ's light in a darkened world. Our outward commitment to being Christ's disciples comes in a variety of ways. It means being good stewards, offering our financial gifts to the work, the ministry of our church. It means volunteering in a number of mission and ministry projects. Maybe not all of them, but maybe just one you will find to engage in. It means engaging in worship and fellowshipping with one another. Are you eager to be Christ's disciple? Because the other thing I think about is when Jesus also says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few." Alleluia. Amen. Friends, if you're able, I invite you to stand as we sing our song of praise, Thy Word.